following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
You know, a strange space that we're in, but I woke up this morning with a dream that there was this evil kind of person. It was a person. It wasn't, you know, some, you know, spiritual figure. It was just a person that in this dream was kind of determined that I was to build this gallows. And I was determined not to build it. And it was sort of nailed together with all kinds of, you know, just over-nailed. Some of you in construction know what I mean. It was just, and I was determined I was going to tear this thing apart. And so I'm tearing it apart, and somebody was helping me. I don't know if it was somebody in the dream I recognized, but when I thought I was done, I turned, and there's this strong man, this evil, evil strong man. And there's a little group of people. The only person I recognized in that group was Pastor Allen. And he was dealing with this guy, and he was just kind of saying, no, no, no. And Alan has an incredible gift at calming things down. And he was just sort of, and I was looking at this guy saying, you're not a man, you're a pussycat. And that, you know, just, that's what I do. It's more like me. I escalate, he de-escalates. So work well together. But it was so clear when I woke up from this thing, and then I went out for a walk this morning, and God made it so clear to my heart that the devil wants to destroy us. The devil wants to destroy Joy and I. Not in terms of you know, divorce, but just wants to destroy the good thing that God wants to do in us. So I'm taking that personally, but I really believe that that's something that maybe there's some other couples here today. You need to realize that Satan hates you. He hates it when two people love each other. He hates our faithfulness. He hates when we put truth on our mouth and blessing on our lips to one another. He hates the good things that we do. So it's time to contend. I know the D-Day metaphor will be overused for a long time, but it's time today to declare D-Day, a moment of invasion into the precious parts of our life and our soul together, and just take that strong man down in faith and you know, just curse the enemy and stand determined to bless your spouse, to bless your mate, and to see God do great things. I'll talk more about just that whole theme on our last session, which I didn't get the right title into the booklet before it came out. You can scratch out core and just put master over that, the master key, the master key. So that's where we'll be on Sunday morning, 24 hours. Let's make it an invasion of grace and truth. And Father, we declare that over our marriages today. We declare, Father God, victory. We just declare an overcoming, Lord. We declare the reclaiming of territory in our homes, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting, Father. And we just declare your victory, Father God, and we receive your grace today. Would you bring the strong man down, whatever that thing might be, even if it's just something very, very real in the spiritual realm, some demonic force, some agent of the enemy that wants to destroy the good you want to do. So we declare that, God, and we stand on the ground of the finished work of the cross to receive that and enjoy that victory in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Does that resonate with anybody here today? So let's do that. And Jeff and Bethany, there they are. I love these guys so much. I've loved one of them a lot longer than the other, but I love both of them. Welcome, you guys.
Well, we are going to talk more about that attack tonight as well. When we talk about conflict, that's one of the keys. All right. Hey, Bethany and I have been coming to this retreat for 5 years. We love it. It is so important and valuable for our marriage. Oh, this is Bethany, by the way. Here I go. Let me just start. I'll just start talking and see what happens.
You already know.
This is my wife, Bethany.
Hi.
We've been doing this for 5 years, and actually I had a conversation with, where's Jonathan? He was sitting over there at Trask. Where are you at? Jonathan, our children's ministry director, and Sarah, his wife. Yes. We had a conversation in the hallways of Refuge the other day where he had talked about making this part of the rhythm of their year. If you ever talk with Jonathan, he's a lot about like systems and rhythms. And really, I think, and I didn't think about it to this moment, that this has become part of the rhythm of our marriage, that we come to this retreat. And I would encourage you that would be something that you think about, that it's not just a one-time thing. And yeah, if you came one time, that's great. But that it just becomes part of, you put it on the calendar. We know when it happens. Mike and his team, Rodriguez. I know we'll thank you guys later on, but thank you so much for all that you guys do. They will know way ahead of time when we are going to go and where we're going and what we're doing. They're going to pray over you. So if you could think about it like this, in my calendar year, this is part of the rhythm of what we do as a couple, no matter where we're at as a couple, whether we're arguing or fighting or whether it's a good season or a bad season, it just becomes part of the rhythm so that every year you know we get to this moment and we get to focus on time together and time about, you know, the Lord and how he's working in our marriage. And I know the Rivers are the same way. They've had that. This is part of their rhythm. And so I would love to just maybe open your mind up to this a little bit. That's not just a, hey, we just come one time and we haven't been in a couple of years. And obviously, if your schedule doesn't permit it, finances don't permit it, whatever that is, I could totally see that. But when I had that conversation with Jonathan, I was like, this has been a big part of our marriage for 5 years at least, where it's just been part of, oh, we're going to the married couples retreat. Oh, we're going to the married couples retreat. And we love it because we see people every year, the same people, and we meet them at Refuge. And so I want to encourage you with that you open up that opportunity each and every year to say, hey, this is part of who we are. This is an identity part of our marriage. Would you say anything about that?
I would agree.
Thank you. Well, let me start by praying, and I love that we start these sessions with worship, because honestly, I think at the end of the day, over the 5 years that we've been here, we've had some really good teaching memories, but it's really the Lord at work, and far beyond anything that we'll tell you. You're probably like, I already know that stuff, but it's just that reminder in the Lord's work, and your time together this weekend in the Lord, as Bill just said, like that time with each other is so valuable, and the Lord will use that. So let's go to him now and just say, Lord, would you please, this weekend, do a powerful work in this place and on this retreat and between marriages that are in all different seasons, some good, some bad, some rough, incredibly rough, and others that are just going, and it's good. So, Lord, I pray that you would just be glorified in this place. You are the foundation that we are building. It's, as Peyton and Andrea said last night, you are the foundation. That covenant is what we're building everything on. So, Lord, would you just be in this place today? This morning and tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Beth and I are going to talk about the mystery of communication. One of the keys of unlocking this thing called marriage is this area of communication. And I got this picture different than Bill's picture, but the picture was like this image of, like, oftentimes communicating is like walking in a dark room. That we kind of fumble around in trying to communicate with our spouses, and that can be some of the hardest conversations that we have. And if we could only just turn on the light, when we walk into a dark room, we all do it. We start looking for the light, and once that light's on, there's no more fumbling. I can see there's a table in front of me, so I just walk around the table. Right? I can see there's Legos all over the floor. And I just pick up the Legos or move around the Legos. But oftentimes, one of the problems that we have in marriage is we don't communicate, or we have a difficult time communicating. And that's like walking in that dark room. And we're stepping all over things. We're bumping into things. And so we hope, kind of a little this morning, we'll give you some tools by which to turn on that light. A little bit, and maybe you won't have to walk so much in the dark anymore. There could be things that the Lord brings to your heart and your mind that's like, oh, okay, we should try that. And the light goes on a little bit more. So we're not just fumbling around in the dark when our communication and our marriages. Should I just keep going? Should I just keep talking?
Do you want to keep talking?
No, you should.
Go ahead.
No, you should do it.
No.
You should do it.
So why do we need to have good communication in our marriage? Why bother? Why even work at it? Because we like happiness and we don't like sadness, basically, right? Seriously, it brings peace. Good communication brings peace in your home, understanding to your hearts, and joy to our lives and the lives of those around us. But if you've been married for more than a day, you know that communication can feel like a mystery. Like, how do we keep missing this? How have I not figured out the answer? How have I not been able to unlock the door to good communication? Like, we're taking crazy pills. Sometimes you feel like, I'm not seeing what you're saying, and you're not seeing what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Where's the remote? So what we've done is on your table, you guys got them now. We thought, hey, what game do you have to try to unlock the mystery? And Clue is that game. You've played it before. It's you get the cards and you stick the cards in the envelope, the little black envelope, and you hide it under the game board. And the objective of the game is to discover who done it, right? So there's, I don't know, Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum,
Miss Scarlet,
other people, like seven other people. There's weapons. There's weapons in the game.
And people. That's it.
Yeah. So you put them, you take a card and you put it in there. And now the whole game is based on trying to figure out who did the murder, like who did it. And that's perfect for our time. We're trying to figure out who's responsible for this thing called marriage and communication. So that's what we're going to discover this morning. You're up.
And so the way that you win the game, right, is good communication. You read people's faces. You listen to the guesses that they've made so you can mark it off on your little card. You're narrowing it down so that you can find out the answer. So we're going to look at box number one. Box number one is who. Obviously, communication in marriage is between you and your spouse. In the game of Clue, we're trying to solve a mystery where seven people are in question of murder. And it seems harder to solve a mystery with just two of us sometimes, right? There's just two of us. Why? It feels like it can never be solved sometimes. But communication should stay within the people who are involved. That's you and your spouse. Less is more in this situation. Yeah. It's not a place where you call all your friends or you call your parents and you complain about what they're doing or, you know, this situation, that situation, unless it is a situation where you get to the point where we need somebody else to step in, somebody we admire or really close friends that you want to come alongside and be like, we are not seeing this. Will you help us see it from the outside? Because sometimes, like Jeff said, it feels like darkness. You just feel like somebody from the outside needs to help us and see what's going on. But for the most part, you want to...
And I would say, too, on that same note, I would just say, obviously, you could go to a friend and say, hey, we need prayer in our marriage right now. I don't need to spill all the details of all the things that are going on. I just want you to... Could you just pray for us? And so how you treat and honor your spouse, especially when things are hard, because it's so easy when things are hard to let things out that you just should not let out. So we have this phrase, it's this, and you could write, this is the thing you'd write in the green box. And I know the boxes are small, so you might have to carry them, but keep the who between the two. Keep the who between the two. In other words, only sharing with the two of you. And again, making sure that I honor my spouse, even in those hardest of times. Box number two.
Oh, so what? What are some healthy habits of good communication in marriage? So we're in the what box. What are healthy habits to communicating well? In the yellow box on your game board.
You got three numbers there. And on those three numbers, for just a moment here, we'd love for you to get together with your spouses. Now, I'll just tell you, this is the easiest thing that we're going to have you do. So when we get to the next session, we're going to have to talk a little bit more with our spouses. So this is just a warm-up. You're just taking a jog right here. So what you're going to do is, with your spouses, just come up with three. What are three healthy habits of communication? You may not have these three yet, right? But this is what I've heard. I've read a book or I've heard someone talk about. This would be healthy if we did this. So just write down three healthy habits of communication in the yellow box where it says 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and do that now.
It's so cute to see all you guys chatting together, by the way.
Communication is what you're doing. It's like, you fail.
We'll know you're done when your pencils are down and your eyes are on us.
You can raise your hand. We'll know you're finished. All right. Let's get a little shout out. What was one that you wrote down on your paper of healthy habits of communication? Somebody just shouted out. I see your hand right there, young lady. Yes. listen well without thinking of the next comment. Oh,
that's
so
a good
hard.
One.
Listen well without thinking of the next comment. Lucy. Set aside uninterrupted time.
Unplug your devices.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the video.
I saw a video on that one time. It was pretty funny. Jonathan. Communicating with guards. That's too deep. That's just so deep. Let's talk about what are guards. Let's take it. No, I was kidding. That's
be
good.
Open,
no, that's good.
Open.
With guards down.
True. Oh.
Speak with kindness. Yes. Yeah. That K. Arthur quote that
Smith.
K. Smith from last Don't night that Andrea twisted. Said was really good.
Listening and not interrupting.
Couch time. Sitting down without the kids, conversing with each other. I think Peyton
Setting
Andrews had rec
time
last night.
Eye contact.
Yeah. Bob.
Don't take it personal.
Is that even possible? But I agree with you totally. She shouldn't take it personal. I'm just kidding. Cindy. That's right. Not about who's right and who's wrong.
Because sometimes both people are right.
That's right.
just different. Just not different. Wrong,
That's
just
right.
different.
Not
There's
wrong.
Emerson. Emerson Edgrix. Okay, so what are seven things that we try to do to communicate well?
Thus.
Number one.
This is not exhaustive, but there's more. Some of you added some, but this is.
And we don't do it all the time.
Not perfectly.
So we try.
No.
So number one is stop, look, and listen. You know the little, you know, slogan for crossing the road, stop, look, and listen before you cross the road. No, that's not right. You don't listen.
Stop,
do you listen?
Roll. It's fire.
Stop, look, and listen. Oh, yeah, I'm right. I'm right this time. No, so stop, look, and listen. When your spouse, so number one is stop. When your spouse comes home or is telling you something, trying to tell you something, number one is stop. Stop what you're doing, if you can, if you're able. If you're in the middle of something that you can't stop right away, just say, hold on a sec, I want to hear what you're saying. But if you can, stop. The second one is look. Look at your spouse. Not at the clock, not at your phone, not around, but looking at your spouse, letting them know, like, I am listening just to you. And
which is really, this is super hard, especially if you have a kids. Because when I get home and she's trying to get things ready for dinner or she's doing something and the kids are running around, they vie for her attention. And it's almost like we are like two ships passing in the night. Just like, when do we, no, we're not even going to try. So this is really hard. But we do, I think we try to fit it in every once in a while where Bethany will just intentionally stop and just give me her attention or I vice versa. We just try to stop what you're doing and really pay attention to your spouse, even if it's just for a moment. And maybe say something like Bethany said, which is, hey, I got to finish doing this, but later on, let's talk more about it. So just being communicative in that way. Let them know you care by giving them your stare. Yeah.
He came up with all the rhyming ones.
Let them know you care by giving them your stare.
And I have to say that I did learn this from his mom because early on in our marriage, I'm like, why am I finding out stuff while listening to him talk to his mom? He didn't tell me this stuff. Why am I finding out all this stuff that's going on? And I realized she stops and she looks at him and she listens to him. Obviously, he's going to tell her stuff because she's like, yeah, I'm listening to you. So, and I was like, I don't listen. I act like I don't care what he's saying. So,
but she has gotten so much better at that in over the years. A lot better.
Trying.
She does a good job.
Thanks.
You do a good job.
Okay, so stop, then look, then listen, even if you don't care what her best friend said. Even if you don't care who got married on her best show. Because, you know, our favorite shows, we talk to them about it like they're our friends, our people. Like, they got married. I was waiting for them to get engaged or whatever it is. So even if you don't care, even if you don't care who got first round draft pick this year.
How's that even possible? You don't care about
or
that,
how though. He scored... I know. Or how he scored a free meal with his app. So even if you don't care, give him the stare. So it's important for us to listen because there's a connection when we listen.
Yeah.
We're making a connection with that person. Once we get married, we don't stop trying to find out all about them because we're all still growing. So we continue to listen so that we can continue to learn what's going on in their lives.
So that first kind of the key to, is to stop, look, and listen. If you're going to have good communication, we need to stop, look, and listen. The second one is responding well. responding well. Being positive and just hearing all the way through. I think somebody said it over here, like just listening all the way out without a response, without a, you know, the first thing, I'm a pretty, like, as we were putting this message together, I'm the cutter outer person. Like, we don't need that. That doesn't fit. I can be not positive at times. And so learning to say, I need to hear her all the way out before I start shooting things down, or that can't be, or we're not going to do that. So if you're that person, learning to say, and that's, I need to respond well to what she's saying. She's coming, she's opening, she's sharing, and not shooting things down before I've listened all the way out. And be, you like to say this one.
Well, and some women are good at shooting their husbands down, because sometimes they'll come with a new vision or for a business or a job or something they're wanting to do, and the woman's just like, that's ridiculous. We're paying off a house right now. What are you thinking? Yeah. Like, we shoot them down like that instead of like, oh, wow, and listening and understanding they're adults. He has a relationship with the Lord. He has the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is going to speak to him and guide him. So I'm going to listen to his amazing vision, his idea. I'm going to be like, oh, wow, that's cool. And I'm going to pray about the things that I think are not going to work about that and say, but Lord, you know what to do. So that, and
you get points for that. Ladies, men, women, when I'm sharing something and I know she does not want to listen, like the draft, it means a lot to me for her just to listen. That she's gained, in my mind, I know she's like, I don't care. But it's really nice for to have her attention and for her just to be listening. So I would just say, even if you don't care, it still matters. And it's gaining points in your relationship in the area of communication.
And so the book that Andrea Jones suggested last night, Vertical Marriage by Ann and Dave Wilson. They're the new hosts for Family Life Radio. And I heard, because Dave Wilson was a college quarterback and chaplain for some NFL team. And he is probably more important than that. But he said in college, he was used to everybody cheering him on. Like, you're awesome, Dave, you're the best quarterback, whatever. And then he gets married and everything's like, boo, you're the worst, you know? You never do anything right. And so we have to be our spouse's cheerleader. We should be our spouse's best cheerleader, listening to their ideas and cheering them on.
So number one, stop, look, and listen. Number two, responding well. Number three, believe the best versus assuming the worst in communication. Believing the best versus assuming the worst in communication. That can be really hard, especially if the season of marriage, and we all walk through these seasons. Some are more difficult than others, where there's a positive feel in the marriage and things are going well. And there's other times when it's really difficult. And when it's difficult, sometimes it can be hard to believe the best in your spouse. But that's a key thing. Your spouse is not waking up every morning thinking, how can I ruin them today? Just believing that they didn't wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to try to make this person as miserable as I possibly can.
They're good-willed.
It can feel like that. It can feel like, what are they doing to me? But the reality is, if you really look at it, big picture perspective, you married a good-willed person who desires to build this marriage and make it healthy and make it peaceful and make it fun. The idea is maybe it's just not happening because we're off for some reason. And you come to things like this and you listen, hey, maybe we are good-willed people. Maybe you're not just waking up trying to ruin me. So believe the best versus assuming the worst.
Not going into it swinging.
Yeah.
And so number four, pray about the topic first. So if there is something that you're wanting to have a conversation about, some maybe serious communication about, ask the Lord if this is worth the discussion. Because some things, 24 hours later, it's not a discussion. It's worked out, or you're like, I don't even know why I was going to bring that up anyway. So giving the Lord that time to be working in you, because it gives you time to recognize what exactly the issue is. Because sometimes we go round and round because we haven't stopped to say, am I mad that he's on his phone, or am I mad that he didn't stop and look at me when I was trying to talk to him when he was on his phone? What do I want to say? And if there's an issue, we need to ask why we feel this needs to be communicated. Do I just want to let off steam? Do I just want to hammer him into the ground and tell him you're still not doing good enough? The only reason that we should, for us to speak truth and what is on our heart to our spouse, is that the words will be an encouragement to those who hear them, or that it may impart grace to the hearer. We want to impart grace into our marriages. So Ephesians 4:29, write that down, memorize it, stencil it on your bathroom wall. Ephesians 4:29, speak truth only that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them, or that it may impart grace to the hearer, not just to get your own way or to blow off steam.
And I think I would just tell you that Bethany has, that's something that she's really worked on and done an awesome job at, and it's been a huge blessing in her home. When I do cross over the line or there's something that she feels like I need to address with him, she will pray about it first. There's not a whole lot of immediate reaction in our home, which is really awesome. And it's not a conflict avoidance thing. It's just I'm going to make sure that I have the words of the Lord, and I feel like I can express them in a way that is honorable to him and to our marriage. And she's rocked that. Like, that's been a huge part of, I think, of our marriage, and a lot of health there. So we're talking about keys of communication. How do we do it well? These are just some of them. The last one that we have as far as that goes is number 5 is consider your approach. Consider your approach. Consider your approach. This is especially important when you have to have a difficult conversation. I think I shared this a couple Sundays ago. Bethany needed to approach something that was very difficult. And she said, "Hey, hon, I need you to come sit down on the bed." And I feel like we need to talk about something. And you know that she said, "You know that I love you. You know that I love our marriage. I love you and honor you. Let's talk." And it totally worked in a sense. I still had a hard time receiving it. I'm still working on that in my marriage. But it was something that was like, I totally recognized that she wasn't coming against me because she was angry or frustrated, or she was going to get me in some way. But her heart was genuinely for the marriage and for me and for us. And so that approach matters. How you approach that topic matters.
Barbara Rainey, I was reading her book at the beginning of this year. It's called Letters to My Daughters, and it's an excellent marriage book for women. It's excellent. So what's her husband's name?
Dennis
and Barbara Rainey are the founders of Family Life. And I just love that podcast, listen to it every day. The book came out of her daughters. I think they have 6 kids or something like that. But her daughters started asking questions about being a godly wife. And so they started out as emails to answer questions that her daughters, even her daughter-in-laws, had asked her. And so it became a book. So there's some really, really great stuff in there. And so one of the things that she talks about is having bookend conversations, confirming at the beginning of your conversation and at the end of your conversation your love and commitment. So having that bookend conversation, letting them know out the gates, this is out of love and commitment to our marriage, and ending it with that same word as well.
Yeah, not walking away from that conversation, especially if it's over something very difficult, without saying that I love you. That person leaves the conversation knowing that we're okay. We may not agree on something. We may have to still work through some things, but you have my heart. That is so key, that if you walk out angry and you're back to ground one again, you just built something up and now we're going to walk on eggshells, and that can be a really difficult thing. So making sure you bookend it, you close that off. For us, because Bethany's love language is touch, so she always wants a hug. Like, I want to know that we're okay. And so making sure when you leave that conversation, it's bookended. I love you at the very beginning. I love you at the very end.
Mm. And Queen Esther in the book of Esther is an excellent example of a good approach. She is patient. She is had to have a hard conversation. She respected the king while bringing the truth. She was patient, she was purposeful, and she was prayerful while her life was depending on it. So, you know, she's preparing the dinner and says, "Well, come back tomorrow night." You know, she's waiting for the right timing. So just a great example in that.
Okay, we're going to move on to box number 3. And this is a little bit deeper than the 3 little conversations you had before. This one, you need this little paper that I have right here. You need to be able to, each person, have one of these. You're going to rate yourself. You're not going to rate your spouse. You're going to rate yourself. So you're going to look at this and you're going to circle how you feel like you come out. So the first one at the top of that sheet says verbally express love. And number one would be, I never do that. I never verbally express love. Number five would be like, sometimes I'm in the middle. Or 10 would be, that's my thing. I'm always saying that I love her or I love him. So take some time, fill that out, and we'll come back in a second. What I would like you to do for just a moment, as if you finish, is take a look at your spouses. Take a look and see how they, where they ranked. See if you agree with them. Don't argue about it now. You can wait till later to do that.
Respectfully in a bookend conversation.
Yeah, I love you, honey. I need to talk about your test. Just take a look at your spouses and kind of look and see what they think they're good at and if you agree with it. Here's what I'd like you to do together. Write down on your paper one strength and one weakness from each of you. One that you think this is, and what you rated. So your strength and your weakness. So husband and wife are writing down one strength and one weakness.
In the green box on the left side of your
on this green box right here, the bright green. You're writing down, husband, here's one of my strengths. Here's one of my weaknesses. Wife, here's one of my strengths. Here's one of my weaknesses. Just out of curiosity, wives, what was one of the strengths that your husband has? What is a strength of your husband? Jackie? Encouragement? He's good at sharing his goals and dreams. What else? What's another thing that your husband shared? Barry? Verbally expressing love. That's awesome. That's really cool. Patience. Nice. Expressing emotions. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Anything else? A wife sharing about her husband.
April.
Oh. Wife sharing husband. What is he really good at? Talking through problems. That's awesome. That is really cool.
April. Logical.
Logical. You need that. Logic is good. All right, how about husbands, something that your wife said is really good at that you would say or you agreed with that she's really good at? Connor? Discussing situations logically. Yeah.
A dreamer, that's good. And a logical one. Greg? Yep. Oh.
Aww. Oh, prayer warrior. Yes, she is too. She is a prayer warrior. Yeah.
Greg guessed. Good at talking too much?
Wait a minute here. That's a good at talking too much. Good at talking too much.
Was that 10? Talk too much? Is that what you said?
Providing encouragement. You. What else? Addresses conflict. Good at addressing conflict. Nice. Caring. Yeah. Oh. She's good at listening attentively and sincerely. Yeah. Okay. So just being mindful of our time here. Box number three is, why is healthy communication so hard? Why is healthy communication so hard? And barrier number one to healthy communication, as you just discovered, is that we're different. We have differences. I mean, how many of you guys had the same rank on all of your attributes? Nobody, right? So some of us are really good at addressing conflict. Some of us like to avoid conflict. Some of us are really good at talking. Others are more quiet, don't really like talking. We have different attribute rankings. So just right out the gates, one of the barriers of communication is that it can be really hard because we are so different. So different. So different.
Yeah, we were created differently. And a lot of, you know, our personality and even how we handle marriage has a lot to do with how we grew up, right? How your parents handled things or the other couples that you saw around you are going to be different than your spouses. And men and women are different. Surprise.
Yes.
Totally different. Emerson Eggerichs says that women like to communicate face to face and men it's side by side.
And this is so true. If you ever go on a date or we're ever talking at home, Bethany wants this, if she's not like running around the house, but she wants this. This is ideal for her. Whereas I don't really need this as much. I can do this. How's it going, right? We're doing good? Good. We're good? I don't need that. But for her, it speaks volumes to be face-to-face with each other, to have attention. And so I think there's a huge thing in that to take with you. It's like, hey, we're communicating a lot like this, side-by-side as friends, and we're going on walks together, but we're side-by-side. We're watching movies together. We're side-by-side. But some point, we need to break that and come face-to-face and have this sort of communication. And I love that the Emerson Eggert says that she has a need that you don't have. That you may feel like, I don't need that. But it's like, you could keep saying you don't need that for a lot of things, but there's things that she needs that we as men need to say, well, if she needs that, then I need to provide that. That's something I need to provide. And so you may not feel it, but if she's communicating that, then one of the things I would say is that face-to-face time is so big, so huge.
Mm-hmm. So barrier number one to healthy communication is that we're different. Barrier number two to healthy communication is that we're busy. We're all busy, right? And I don't know if it's just Orange County. I'm sure it's all over the world, but it feels busier here. So is there something that needs to be removed from your schedule to provide more focused time for communication between you and your spouse?
Yeah.
We revisit this conversation constantly of like, is there anything we need to stop doing? Is there anything? And kind of picture what that would look like. Because when you are saying yes to something, you're automatically saying no to something else. So you have to make sure that your yeses are not saying no to your marriage and breaking that down. So
you said no to be here to something, to be here this weekend. So awesome. That's a huge no. Like whatever it was a golf game or watching the final NBA finals or whatever it was. And even financially, you said no to something in order to pay the money to be here. So you're already headed in the right direction, but it's something that you need to practice on a weekly basis. There's times when we just need to say no to that because we haven't had a lot of this together, a lot of time together. And that will eventually just wear you down. The lack of communication will wear your marriage down. So being able to say, we could say yes to a lot of amazing things, but some things we just have to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
So good.
And there's seasons of this too, like with baseball season, dance.
Is that what you were waiting for me to say?
Yeah, I was just going to hope to fill that in.
Okay, so Jeff coached our son's baseball team, I think 5 years?
Yeah.
5 years. And when baseball season rolled around, it was like, okay. You know, it was like a different Jeff, not completely.
No.
But because, you know, his mind is focused, he doesn't just show up at the field. I mean, we're talking, we've got lineups, we've got stats, we've got all this stuff. We're going to do this right. And because he does things well. So, but when baseball season came around, it was just like that communication. It was hard just because we were busier, you know, and you can't have deep conversations as you're passing each other by. So,
yeah, that's one of the things we, like Bethany said, we revisit on a continual basis when we feel like our schedules are just crazy. Are we getting those date nights together? Are we getting the, Bill Ferriss talks
couch
about mini moons. Like, are we getting away together at some point? And so that is so valuable. Don't give up on that in your marriage. Even when things are busy, don't just say, oh, well, it's busy because it's baseball season, it's dance, it's volleyball. We don't need that. You need it just as much as ever before. It's just finding out, I got to say no to this. Oh, I don't want to say no to this. We got to say no so we can spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
So barrier number three, the final one for that section. And this is super simple. We're selfish. One of the barriers to communication is that we're just prideful and we're selfish and we want our way. And just like our kids want their way in a communication issue, in a time to resolve something, we're selfish people. Like we want our way. And sometimes we do that so much that we don't even see what the other person's saying because we just know I want my way. So that's quick and easy. But probably the most true is that at the end of the day, when we're trying to communicate with each other, and it's just not working, look and say, am I just being selfish? Like, am I dishonoring her in some way by my actions? Am I being selfish? Sometimes that's yes, a lot of the time.
Okay, so we are at box number four, where, when, and where. So the when and where is... when and where is a good time for conversation to take place? So I want to look at the bad time and places to try to have serious communication or a difficult thing that you need or just something that's serious would be number one, in front of others. Because you've been around the couples that almost kind of... maybe pride themselves in, we don't hide our fights. We have our arguments, our conversations.
We keep it real.
We're keeping it real in front of everybody. But everybody else around them is like, oh, what do we do? You know? And because you, that conversation is, I think, not to be held in front of other people. So not in front of others. Number two, because we have to have self-control. And we need to gather our thoughts. We need, you know, we touched on that, taking the time to see what the issue is and how we're going to discuss that. Unless you are having a conversation with a marriage counselor or something like that. That is the other that would be in that conversation.
It's a respect issue. Like, you want to respect your spouse. You want to honor your spouse. You want to lift up your spouse. It's when you get like, I've got this feeling and emotion, I'm so angry, and we're going to let it all out, so much so we're going to do it in front of other people. That can be a dangerous thing for your relationship with your spouse. Like, you're breaking down that trust. You're breaking down the honor of your spouse, which you're working on lifting up. And so Bethany said, it's like, it's controlling self. Like, I need to be able to control myself, and I need to, like we do the 24-hour, I need to pray over this. It needs to be addressed. We need to talk about it. It's just not here in front of our friends or our kids. Mm-hmm.
And it's never okay to beat down your spouse or to talk badly about them, you know, especially when they're standing there, but ever, because you think you're making them look bad, but you look bad. You know, you're making the people around you kind of feel like, I'm glad I'm not married to that one. You know what I mean? And so singing praises about your spouse instead of beating them down, making fun of their job or how they don't do that well or they don't do this well. So not beating your spouse down. Listen to Proverbs 17:27 says, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Memorize that one as well.
Right now.
Memorize it.
Yeah, so a couple other places not good at having this time of communication, maybe better to wait for another time. It was when they walk in the door. We talked a little bit about that. Walking in the door, that seems to be a big thing, whether it is the husband or the wife, and they're just walking through the door, to dump on them, to pour on them, probably not the best time. Can I get an amen for that? That's a hard time.
Whatever. Oh, good, you're home here.
Yeah. Whatever's just gone on at work, space is key. I think it's, again, we're not trying to say ever push away those conflicts or those issues that need to be addressed, but there is a good time and a bad time to do it when they walk the door. At the dinner table, not a good time.
Yeah, just like, I'm just picturing our dinner table with our kids and stuff like that. You know, there are things that, serious conversations that we need to have. Maybe it involves other people in our lives. And we don't want to be sitting there in front of our kids gossiping about other people. What kind of example is that setting? Or maybe talking about financial issues. You know, you want to take your family's feelings and hearts into consideration.
Late nights when you're about ready to go to sleep, and you just watch, yeah, amen to that.
Who said amen?
I see Lincoln. People's heads going, yeah, right? Late night, you just watched 30 minutes of show, right? There could have been a conversation during the entertainment portion of the night. And now you're going to bed, and lights are going out, and you're about ready to fall asleep, and you get this look.
So
let's talk. And it's like, that's not always the best time to do that, right? We can do it earlier on in the night when the mental faculties are more present and we're not head on the pillow, lights are going out. So I see a lot of guys saying this is right, and a lot of girls saying this is the time to talk. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what's going on
in
the mind there.
Well, that's it, I guess. Yeah, we want to be the last voice we hear is yours saying, you're so beautiful as you lay there on your pillow. Your hair is so perfect and your eyes are so brown. No. For me, it's...
She's grabbing my hand.
You know that I love you.
Yes, I do.
And I'm committed to our marriage.
Booking number one.
But I feel like... this is bad.
Yeah.
I didn't clean the toilet with his toothbrush.
No, you didn't.
But... it's the feeling like you can stay awake for this, But then when you roll over, it's like, oh, I can't even keep my eyes open to even look at you right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's where I'm coming from. But I understand. He's like, okay, allegedly. I'm done. I'm falling asleep. But he doesn't, you know.
So allegedly that happens. Allegedly. We're not saying it does or doesn't. We've heard it can happen. I think what we're really trying to say here is the communication aspect is really done, better done. If you're communicating, I love you, let's have a conversation, one thing. Bigger issues that you're trying to work through, probably not right when you're about ready to go to sleep at night. And Bethany has shared with me that one of the reasons why she feels like it comes up at night is she doesn't want to close off the day with this feeling or this emotion or whatever that she's wrestling with and feels like I need to talk about it. So here's what I would just say. Instead of watching that TV show, instead of doing whatever it is you do to kind of unwind, do it during that time where you can say, hey, I love you, you know I love you, right? And now can we discuss something that's kind of been bothering me all day today? Let's talk about it. Rather than, hey, last minute, gonna go to sleep. Guys, amen? And how about this? This is the trade-off. We will make sure to acknowledge you without our phones before we go to bed at night.
Okay, deal.
Good.
And don't bring it up during a Laker, Angel, or Raider game.
Clearly.
Because you're not going to get anything.
Not a good time for communication in the middle of those games.
Yes.
Yep. Or?
Or when she's rushing to get dinner on the table, hey, we need to talk about this right now. You're like, but I'm doing something. So, you know, when it's obvious that your spouse is rushing around, they've got something that they need to do and just hold it. And then.
You know what you do? She does really well, though, is when I'm on my way home from work, sometimes she'll say, hey, we need to talk about something when you get home. There's this preempt of like, we're going to pause for like 5 minutes, but just be prepared. Make your mind prepared that something happened at school today with the girls, or something happened this that we just need to talk about before you go to church or before you go someplace else. So you can do that. I think that's totally appropriate. Just be ready because we got to talk.
And then I don't see him for 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. No, it's not true.
Like
I don't want to go inside.
I don't want to go in.
Okay, so this is a real scientific fact. Don't laugh, but at certain times of the month, men, keep it to yourself. Because it's a thing where, or women recognize, like, why does this happen every, like, Jeff was at the point where he's like, this happens once a month. This same conversation happens once a month. There is, I'm like, oh, you're so right. And having it click, like, oh, yes. So
the same conversation of you don't love me was happening at the same time every month. And I was like, if you just write this down, write down what you're feeling,
and the
then
date.
Next month revisit that same thing, I think we'll see a pattern, is what I was saying. But I did it in a loving and gracious way where I said, honey, I know I love you, and we sat on the bed together. No. Yeah, saving difficult conversations for when you're alone and you have that time, that space to do it. Good times for communication is everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere.
So we talked about the bad places and times to do it. Good times to have to
for
communicate
us that we found.
Positively that we found is all the time. In front of others, be positive with your spouse. Recognize your spouse's presence. What's the word? Complimenting them. Yeah. I don't know why it came so hard. Complimenting them in front of other people. You know, having conversations. There's a couple that's in our home group, and I was telling Jeff that when I see them talking to each other, it's like he's sharing news with a friend. He's like, oh, today I had lunch with so-and-so from my job. And it's like, and she responds like a friend. Having that open, just positive communication around each other, being openly affectionate, just being encouraging to one another, because it is an example to those around you as well.
Anytime you like, we promote dates so much. We're always talking about you got to be going on a date, going on a date. Those are times of just being able to be alone and opening up with each other. And it could start with just simple conversation, but it will blossom into something so much bigger than just that conversation if you allow it. Allow that positive conversation to start on that date and just be open with each other. I will just say sometimes guys, we're a little bit more reserved, but if we get out and wives, if your husband starts talking about cars or sports or whatever, ride that wave, right? Don't flush it down and say, well, we don't, you know, let's talk about love, right? No, ride the wave, because eventually what happens is he starts to open up And there's an opening up that goes on that date that he feels that you will feel. So that conversation, however it starts, is so good. Keep that date going and that communication open, especially on those dates.
So practice these good times and places for healthy communication. So take a minute with your board, with your game board, and just take a sec and look at each of the squares, the when and the where, the who, the what and the why, and just circle anything in there that you see, I would love to work on this as a couple in our marriage. I would love to start implementing that.
Okay. So you have a little bit of a homework assignment. You can see on there what it is that maybe some things that you guys can work on in your marriage. I will just say keep working on getting those lights to turn on in the dark room brighter and brighter and brighter. I really truly believe it's something that you can build on over time. That if you're in a dark room right now or a dimly lit room, and you're trying to learn how do we communicate better so we can get the lights brighter in here so that we don't have to go through this time and week after week after week after week. You can turn the lights on. They can get brighter as you build on communication in your marriage. Let me pray for you. We're going to have you guys come back in about 15 minutes. So get out there, use the restroom, have some water, and then come on back. Let's pray. God, this area, I believe absolutely 100%. I love what Peyton said last night. You could have made us to just multiply ourselves, but you didn't design humanity that way. Lord, instead you designed husband and wife. Lord, and in that husband and wife and that oneness together, one of the things is, and you gave us differences too, Lord, that were designed differently, oftentimes many ways. Lord, in that, we need to be able to communicate well. We need to turn the light on in the darkness. And so, would you help us? None of us are perfect at this. It's always an increasing timeline. Lord, we need to get better and better and better at it. The more we work at it, and the better we'll get at it, the more peace we'll have in our marriages. So, Lord, would you do that in this place? Would you draw us deeper into this area of communication? What do I need to do? What do we need to do to communicate well with each other? Would you show us that, Lord? Amen.
Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.